For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday War Games, episode 14. Liam, AEW Dynamite is terrible. Discuss.
End it. It's all over. The experiment's done. Close the TW game.
I hate this show. I'm so bummed at how bad this... We're not doing banter. We're not doing building up. We're not burying the lead. This show sucked, Liam. And NXT is fine. We'll get to NXT in the back half of the show.
Wrestling stinks.
All Elite Wrestling aired an episode of Monday Night Raw on TNT this Wednesday, and it sucked. I'm like, I don't know. What are they doing? That's the thing. If you look at the Dark Order segment before Christmas, I can understand what they were doing. You know, the heel stable attacked all the baby faces. They get heat, they get over. I understand the logic of that
purpose.
Segment. You look at that Brandi Rhodes bullshit, and if anybody looked at that on paper, any of the supposedly smart minds in this company, if any of those people looked at that on paper and said, yes, this is what this match needs, this is what our audience wants out of this match and of this product, shut the company down right now, there's no point.
It's done. The thing is, though, it's like, not only was it bad, what made it even worse was the match was good! They were wrestling! They were doing the good wrestling!
That legitimately makes it worse, because that's just bullshit Russo TNA then, isn't it? It's like they have AJ Styles, but they can't get out of his way. That's more frustrating than, like, if everything was dog shit and the wrestlers were bad and the wrestling was bad and the angles were bad, I'd be like, oh, that's all bad. Who gives a crap? But you have Riho and Chris Statlander in there having as good of a match as they can humanly possibly have, and you just drag them down at every single possible turn. Screw the opener. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page beat Private Party. The match was decent. Moving on.
I liked the progression of Page's character. Neville's stupid. He's Neville now. That's what it is. He's Neville now, man.
He's beaten up Nakazawa backstage. He kidnapped him 2 weeks ago. Surely Kenny would put bodyguards on him at this stage.
Well, like, Nakazawa's a pro wrestler. Just defend yourself.
Stop going to shows. And I don't like Hangman Page. I would have no problem with Hangman Page if, like, every character on the show wasn't a goof, and now he's a cartoon character drunk. And it's like, everyone's a goof, apparently. Fine, everyone's a cartoon character
drunk. He
drinks
after the wrestling, not before.
He's just a drunk. That's his character. Woo, that's Hangman Page. Let's take him seriously. But yeah, Riho and Chris Statlander had as good a match as they could humanly possibly have within the constraints, and they were considerable of the booking. Like you were in utterly miserable just based on Brandi Rhodes on commentary. Never mind everything.
She's so the problem with Brandi Rhodes is this character has legs. It has potential. A cult leader, this kind of deal where she's got like connections directly to the booking. That's kind of cool. But she has no acting ability whatsoever, so she can't pull it off.
And like the Brandi Rhodes character was fine before this. Like, she cut good promos as, like, the kind of underdog babyface thing she was doing. She was good at that. And this is just, I don't know who this is for. Actually, no, I do know who this is for. This is for Brandi Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes alone. But other than that, like, say no to her. This is nonsense. Like, she sat there on commentary burying this match the entire time. The announcers wanted none of it. They wanted none of her. Like, she did this weird bit about Excalibur and his mask while freaking Creo and Chris Statlander were having a match. And, like, Raw isn't this bad these days.
During a title match.
A title match that they built up for freaking 4 weeks nearly at this stage.
Like, the thing that really annoyed me about that one is, like, up until this point, I think title matches have had reverence. I think if there was a title match, it felt like a big deal. But then this title match started with Brandi saying she would rather go to sleep.
She put people to sleep on commentary, I'll tell you that much. So yeah, these
fucking
two, these two tried to have their match, and then Brandi Rhodes came to ringside with her dopey clown crew, and the match
Mel.
Just... I like the utter farce, Liam. The utter farce that was the entire debut of what's his, I don't even remember the name of the Japanese
Dr. fucking Luther.
Luther.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Good friend of Chris Jericho. That's who that guy is. Speaking of nepotism, this whole angle is nepotism. But Brandi Rhodes, for the whole time, like Dr. Luther debuts, they all walk to ringside. They do like a 4-on-1 attack on Chris Statlander. And the whole time, the referee, I thought the match was over. I thought they did like the Phantom Rio and referee disappear thing. No, they didn't. The referee just happened never to look back at frickin' Chris Statlander for a good 2 minutes.
Busy.
It's so stupid. It's just stupid pro wrestling bullshit that you'd expect out of Monday Night Raw and you don't expect out of All Elite Wrestling. And like, I honestly say that, you don't expect out of All Elite Wrestling. What the hell do you expect out of All Elite Wrestling these days?
Company supposed to be? What are they trying to give us? What are they trying to present to us? We talked about identity with NXT like 6 weeks ago. What is AEW's identity anymore?
It's just, it's Raw. This was Raw.
It's not the alternative.
It's just a different kind of Raw. And that wasn't even the end of it. Then Rio and Statlander got back in the ring and continued, Liam. They continued to have a pretty
that
good wrestling
very
match.
Very weird. But it was weird.
While the other four were still around ringside, they continued to have a pretty good wrestling match. And then there was another shitty distraction finish and Rio won. And I'm just like, fuck this. This company, like, what are you doing? What, as I said, who is this meant to be for? Who looks at this and says, this is the alternative people want? I'm baffled. I'm absolutely baffled as to, like, who signs off on this? Between the, what is it, six
Brandi
people, five
signs
people?
Off on this. Brandi and Kenneth, the two responsible.
I don't even think this is Kenneth. This is just Brandi. Do you think Kenneth wanted to do this to Rio?
Joshi. Probably. He loves it. He thinks this is great.
I doubt it. I really doubt it.
The thing is, I was like, if Brandi didn't sound like she was just talking in a normal Brandi presenter voice the entire time, I could maybe buy some of it, but she doesn't sound genuine in the slightest.
She's acting.
And she's acting very, very badly.
She's distinctly acting.
She's stilted.
This was one of the worst segments I've seen on pro wrestling television in a very long time. This was the worst segment of the Wednesday Night Wars by an absolute bloody landslide. And as I said, made all the worse that it was Rio versus Chris Statlander. Do you know what thought I had on Wednesday afternoon, Liam?
I know. No, don't say it.
You know, they should really main event with Rio against Chris Statlander.
That's like... they should have just done a better match!
That's a thought that went through my head on Wednesday afternoon. It's like, I was looking up and down the card, and like, that should be their main event. They've been building that for a good, like, 4 weeks since December 18th or whatever it was, whenever Statlander became number one contender. It's like, put it in the main event. Make a statement. And they sure as hell made a statement.
And then, like, after all of it was done, they decided to rehash one of their most disliked and disapproval isn't even a word, I'm fired up, moments when they had Excalibur basically do the entire Butcher and the Blade, that's them shtick again. And the commentary was like, eh? And he's like, eh? Dr. Luther.
Japanese deathmatch wrestling legend or whatever. Someone updated his Wikipedia page with that.
Really?
Yeah.
I wish it was Jun Kasai.
Well, is he friends with Chris Jericho?
Maybe.
There was an attack after the match. Who cares? Who honestly cares? Like, who cares about any of this? Welcome to the Depression Hour. This is just an hour.
How was your week, Garrett?
Sammy Guevara and Christopher Daniels. This, like, honestly, as bad as that was, this compounded it. Because, like, that was an utter nightmare of a segment. And then Daniels and Sammy are having a pretty darn mediocre wrestling match. And Pentagon walks out on the ramp. And they do, like, every shitty WWE distraction finish in the history of WWE that, like... Again, who signed off on this? Who's like, yeah, we'll do the Pentagon will walk out, Daniels will go, whoa, and Sammy will pin him. And it's just the nonsense that you see on Raw every week, back to back with the nonsense we just saw there, where like they did two recruitment angles back to back, where we had the payoff of the Statlander recruitment, as well as Daniels being recruited. We had two attack and saves back to back, where the Nightmare Collective attacked, and Shida and Swole and some other people made the save. And... like, we had two distraction finishes back-to-back, where Statlander was distracted by Brandy and company, and Daniels was distracted by Pentagon. And it's like, again, what is this company? Like, what are they doing?
Is there no one, like, looking at the run sheet and going, hey, this is all the same?
Well, this was two of three recruitment angles on this show, Lee, and we still have a main event recruitment angle to come.
Oh, I forgot that there was another one.
I'm just, like, if I did not have this podcast, this would be an episode of AEW Dynamite that would make me stop watching this show every week. I just, like, if something gets hyped, I'll watch it. Other than that, I don't need to watch this wrestling show anymore every week. Because, like, we had the false hope that was last week's episode that was just like, oh yeah, this is what this show was meant to be. This was, like, the good wrestling and simple stories that we want out of this television show, that everyone wants out of this television show. And then it didn't even, like, go back to as what it was. It's worse than what it was. This is far and away the worst episode of television they've ever done, with a bunch of the worst segments they've ever done. And, like, there is a common denominator between the Nightmare Collective and the Dark Order, but... oh, I'm truly baffled. I'm truly baffled, like, that this is their Change the World Pro Wrestling. Like, really?
No. It's just more of the same bullshit that people wanted an escape from.
Exactly. Like, this is why I don't watch Raw every... this is why I set a scheduled tweet saying watching Raw is a trap every week. Apparently watching Dynamite's a trap, too.
It's a trap, but it's even worse because sometimes it, like, tantalizes you and it's like, hey... hey, this is what you want? This is what... nope.
It's a bunch of shit. This show, like, God, I wasn't even going to tweet during the show last night because I was lying in bed and I was feeling, like, tired and a little sick. So I'm just like, I'm just going to lie here and watch Dynamite. And then it just made me madder and madder. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's just like, what are you doing?
I threw my hands up just then. No one could see, but I hope you felt it.
The Rhodes Brothers faced the Lucha Bros.
The Brotherhood, thank you.
Oh, fine. It was a perfectly decent match. But who? At this stage, like, the good faith I had for this wrestling show was just gone. Like, completely gone.
What are we going to do? We're not going to be like, haha, well, that was weird. Let's move on. No, it's just now we're in bad moods watching it.
Yeah. Cody Rhodes and Dustin beat the Lucha Bros. Lucha Bros losing all the time. What the hell is, like... they were talking about, actually, it was a line from Excalibur, don't let the number at the end of their win-loss record trick you, they're one of the best teams in the world. Well, Excalibur, if they keep on losing all the time, they are certainly, by no standard, one of the best teams in the world.
I just want more. Is it, like, wrong for us to just expect more from them?
Like, do I feel stupid for buying into their marketing bullshit? Maybe? I don't know. Like, at the very least, I did not expect this show to fail in a way that made it feel like Monday Night Raw. Like, it might have been too jokey, like being the Elite, or maybe, like, they got too into the weeds with the win-loss records and the sports stuff. But no, it's just, it's the same wrestling you see on Monday night. That's what this show was.
I don't see how Tony Khan can be sitting back there with his ideas of sport presentation for this, watching the Nightmare Collective and going, yes, this is what I had envisioned.
This is what I pumped hundreds of millions of dollars into to create.
This is what I wanted when I was fantasy booking Claudio Castagnoli. This is what I wanted. Like, I definitely had this kind of angle.
Tony Khan has definitely played TEW. Mm. Like, this is not the company he created.
Hire us. We do great TEW stuff.
Do we? I once had...
This is basically what we do! This is basically what we do at TEW! Don't give us the book!
We get bored, and then Terry Funk dies, and I have written into Shane the show that Shane McMahon killed him. It's just, that's the kind of thing I do at TEW. I do feel like so much wrestling gets caught in that trap where they start writing it for themselves instead of writing it for their audience. And like the Brandi Rhodes stuff is so thoroughly written for themselves and so thoroughly not written for the audience. Like, who in their right mind would have thought, yes, Rio against Chris Statlander, this is what we should do. And I saw someone argue that, oh, you can't pin Chris Statlander clean. What kind of bullshit is that? She's been in this company a month.
First match.
Yeah, she's like, for the love of God, she is not going to lose a single solitary thing losing to the women's champion.
Well, so, this is the first year of the company. Like, rehab isn't impossible for these characters if they lose a match.
And the other, oh, that reminds me of another thing I get mad at people saying, oh, it's only their 14th show or whatever. They've only been doing it for 3 months. I would say fine if these shows weren't actively getting worse. That's my problem. These shows used to be pretty good.
I give them that excuse when they're on a run of good stuff. But like when they so thoroughly go off the road, it's like, I can't even give you that anymore.
It's like, oh, they're inexperienced with TV. What, they're just like, no, they were fine on October, what is it, 2nd or 3rd, whenever that first show was. That was a great episode of television.
Have been on TV for like 10 years.
And yeah, they were fine last week. Everything was fine then.
They keep doing these, I'll answer your question next week promos, and they fucking stink.
What's worse is, like, fair enough, the Moxley one, and then, like, then Arn Anderson's like, oh, next week. But then they just have MJF come out and they cut a promo for 10 minutes after Cody says he'll tell him next week. And it's just
like, don't do it in the ring. You know the reaction that's going to get.
Yeah, the pacing of these stories are glacial. And I get it. Like, the pay-per-view's not for another 6 weeks or so. 6 weeks of TV.
2 months.
It's the 29th is the pay-per-view. So however many weeks of TV until the 29th, that's it's 6 or 7. But like, yeah, these stories are just trudging slowly along through the mud. And it's just like everything is, oh, we'll punt it down the line for another week. We'll punt it down the line for another week. And Cody is a babyface who's not accepting a challenge, which I think is, I don't care for that. Like, especially
with the shtick that his character has been this entire time. It's the complete opposite of what his character has shown to be doing.
Yeah, I really don't care for that fired up Cody babyface being like, whatever it takes for me to get my hands on you, you slimy piece of crap. And like, if that's the character that they, oh, he brought in Aaron to stop him from making rash decisions like he did when he gave up all his title shots, like, that's just a bad story then. I don't care about that.
Hmm.
MJF comes out to cut a promo.
He mistimed it.
Yes, this is the funny thing if you're watching on Fight. He did the 10-second count a little too early, and the producer on the floor, like when he was halfway through the count, is like, no, 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 we're not in the air. So immediately he comes back. It's like, oh, I'm giving you till 10 again. And the crowd...
They lost their great Arn Anderson hospice line.
They did. Yeah.
Only the Fight TV audience will know.
The $5 a month I pay for that content.
$5 a month you pay for that content for me.
Nice, you thief.
Got him. You owe me got money. Him. Yeah, I'm roasting you, All Elite.
MJF.
Oh, thanks, Cody, for wearing a shirt for the country, though. That's pretty cool.
That's nice enough.
Go buy that shirt.
There's a banner on NXT as well.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up at that point, but yeah, go donate.
But yeah, MJF is like, oh, Cody, blah, before he's interrupted by DDP.
Big future star DDP!
A month ago, The Butcher and the Blade debuted on this television show as a credible threat. They defeated Cody in a tag team match, even if they pinned QT Marshall. And now they're being laid out like goose by DDP, and DDP was going to lay out the rest of them if he wasn't dropped with a low blow. And then they just announced later in the show that DDP is wrestling next week, which, like, why? Like have him cut that promo. He got beaten up. Go backstage and have DDP cut that fiery babyface promo about it. So how if you want to jump me to my face, because next week it's going to be the three of us against the three of you. Do that promo. Connect those dots. Don't just have the announcers say, oh, next week DDP will be wrestling. Because like, DDP wrestling is a pretty big deal for the most part. I got zero reaction
from the live crowd.
Yeah, but the people usually like DDP. Maybe it depends where they are. Maybe Memphis hates DDP. But yeah, MJF, like, this segment annoyed me because, as you said, they're kicking the story down the road. MJF and Wardlow were beating up DDP, and Cody just didn't make the save. And I would have
Dustin
said...
Dustin did.
Yeah, I would have said...
The real Rhodes brother.
I would have said, fine. Like, he just wrestled, though he's distracted. But then Dustin came out, which just undermined that, too. And it's just... Everything about this show is just... I'm just... No. Go away.
Be better.
Jurassic Express defeated Best Friends. We had some Orange Cassidy fun. At least there was a bit of joy there.
I would have liked this had the rest of the show not been dog shit.
Yeah, we got some Orange Cassidy fun. That's all this.
Orange Cassidy is still the biggest star on this program.
Rightfully so.
The crowd stood up for him.
He's the best. He's just like, he's the most wholesome good thing about this show because he's never bad.
And then we got a bunch of match announcements, Garrett.
Next week, we have Pac against Darby Allin, DDP, QT Marshall, Dustin Rhodes against MJF, Butcher, and The Blade, and Sheeta and Statlander versus Kong and Cruz. We also have...
Mel.
Is she just going by Mel? Name?
Mel.
Well, that's what Brandy called her. Maybe that's intimate.
She was listed as Mel on the thing.
For God's sake, that's a catchy name.
And then in 2 weeks...
What do we have in 2 weeks?
Jurassic Express versus Chris Jericho and Proud and Powerful.
Oh, yeah.
On the boat.
Next week has been announced since the show, Jon Moxley against Sammy Guevara.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there you go.
Do you think that'll be better than the Darby's match?
No, Darby's better than Sammy.
Yeah, but Sammy is more like, it'll be more of a face heel dynamic, and I think the crowd will be more into it, which helps raise matches.
Nah, I just think he'll beat him in like 9 minutes, and it'll be a nice 3.25 star match.
I hope he takes the Darby bump at least.
Yeah, he should. He's a young man who can spike himself on his head.
He did it for the regular boy, which we see in this segment.
Yes, Jon Moxley comes to the ring with the Inner Circle, and they're like, oh, and Moxley's like...
They
oh.
did a Raw segment!
They sure did. As I said, if you go back and listen to this podcast, when they first did this, I literally outlined exactly what the segment would be.
Beat for beat!
And like, as I said then, I'd be fine with it. Turns out, I'm not. Because this segment was like twice as long as it needed to be.
Why was the celebration like for 5 minutes straight?
Was it just to sell
that it was real?
And like, people are like, oh, well, he had to get the car keys off of Jericho. You couldn't have done that in like 2 minutes. Jericho could have been like, thank you, here are the car keys. Then he hits him with a bottle, DDTs the other one, gets out of there. It's a 3 minute segment. The crowd, it got a reaction, but it didn't get nearly the reaction I anticipated it would. Probably because.
Because the crowd was beaten down.
Yeah, it completely outstayed its welcome.
Yeah.
And, yeah. This show.
That Inner Circle shirt's pretty cool, though.
I'd get one if. I had money. I do have money.
And it had like the spray thing on it, like Mox's logo, so I thought that was like, ooh, it might be real. I kind of wish it was real. I kind of wish Mox did join.
They should release the shirt anyway just to sell it.
Yeah.
Just to make money.
He should have joined just because like the Elite have like all the stars, so like having another group that has the two biggest stars outside of them.
Well, I don't think Mox fits in that group at all, but sure.
Yeah, but like that, like he said, that group is stupid. It doesn't matter.
That's Dynamite, Liam. Did you enjoy Dynamite?
This was the first bad episode.
I even liked the episodes people like thought were really bad. I generally didn't like super dislike. Even the one before
we always
Christmas
said they were just like a 5 out of 10. Like they were just average, whatever. This was their first like.
Dud.
Bad.
This is just a dud of a wrestling show. That if it was on Monday night, you'd be like,
I can give it a one for that six man. Nothing else is good.
Well, the opener was fine as well. Before all hope and joy in the world is gone. No, all hope and joy in the world is gone.
Also, I think that was my favorite match of the week.
It might have been. Speaking of favorite matches of the week, it's so god. WWE NXT.
This is my brutality!
I. after watching that episode of AEW Dynamite, which is the most annoying WWE tropes on earth, when NXT opened with the parade of people interrupting each other, one after another, I'm like, I have given up on wrestling. I never want to see any pro wrestling ever again in my life.
Listen, if there's one trope I don't mind, it's the hit everyone's music, come out, have a chat thing. But, like, and now even better, I liked it more just because I watched NXT first for the first time ever, because I was like, you know what? Normally I watch NXT second and I'm all hyped up and, you know, I'm sad. And I'm like, I was gonna have to watch an NXT now. But I was like, yeah, I'll watch NXT first. And then I was like, I should have watched AEW first.
And, like, even before they did the parade of people interrupting each other, Rhea Ripley cut this promo. And, like, I forgot this is the first time it's been since she won the belt. And she comes out and she's like, memories, they're amazing. And she's, like, literally, she's speaking to kill time. She's waiting to be interrupted by Tony Storm.
Yeah, it really looked like they were meant to hit that button, like, 5 times, but they might have been, like, testing her or something.
Yeah, and, if they were testing her, she failed. Because she shouldn't talk.
Why is that her character? Her character should be, like, just badass.
Yeah, she's here being like, oh, the memories. The memories. They fill me with joy. I don't even, like, that's all I remember. I remember saying memories, like, 4 times. And then she thanked the fans. And as you said, she talked about, like, I don't know, about 2 sentences longer than it felt like she planned to. And then Toni Storm finally interrupted her. And you could literally see the relief on her face.
Tony Storm's cool. About time she showed up.
Yeah, but then we had the parade of people interrupting each other. Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, Kaylee Ray, and Candice LeRae. Also, Lee Ray and LeRae. Look at all these people with their similar names. All interrupted one another.
That would never go in my WWE.
To set up a six-woman tag team match. I nearly said six-man tag team match. Aren't I the worst?
No respect.
Absolutely not. And wrestling has me conditioned to be sexist. In which the work in this tag team match was fine, but, like, it again, it's just WWE tropes. Oh, they're fighting for brand supremacy.
The heels don't get along.
They're fighting for momentum before NXT TakeOver UK. The heels, Liam, did you realize they don't get along?
Don't get along.
And, like, the work was pretty...
dropped kicked Bianca.
Which Bianca, by the way, stood there for about 30 seconds waiting to be dropkicked.
Yeah, I think something happened off screen where we were like, Io might have flubbed the first springboard or something. Because there was a reaction and nothing happened, and then she did it.
So yeah, Candice, Rhea Ripley, and Toni Storm defeated Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, and Kaylee Ray when
but
the heel team
Candice
exploded.
But then Candice stared at the title.
Even though it's the matches, Toni Storm against Candice, or against Rhea, isn't it, for...
They all want the title. That's the story.
All right. But yeah, Toni Storm and Rhea Ripley has been made for... What's the name of that show?
Worlds Collide.
There we go. I know you said United We Stand, but that was an Impact show last year.
TakeOver Worlds Collide.
No, there's TakeOver Portland coming up at some stage or another.
That's so stupid. Like, just having the names of the cities being it. Because, like, oh, I'm Finn Balor. I'm going to cut this promo. And then it's like, Portland.
The big dramatic reveal of NXT TakeOver Portland. And it's the worst when they get to, like, the third or fourth, like, NXT Brooklyn 3.
Yeah, I'll meet you at NXT Brooklyn 5. I wish they did it for War Games, though. It's like, we're gonna go to War Games 6.
War Games. They add an extra S onto every successive.
They add a Z. War Games.
Imperium defeated the Forgotten Sons in a match that existed.
Did it?
It was pretty good for what it was, but yeah, it was a 5-minute tag.
I think I literally wrote in my notes, this was pretty good for a Forgotten Sons match.
Forgotten Sons are fine. It's just
you can't possibly care
about them. Hey, it's Gunner!
Yeah.
You're the second person I've had an argument about dismissing Gunner with today.
Then we got the best part of this show, which was the backstory to the Broserweights.
Oh, yes. Please explain.
So, I don't remember it verbatim, but Matt Riddle was like, hey, so I went up to Pete Dunne, and I was like, bro, want a team? And he did, like, his Pete Dunne thing. And then I did my bro thing. And that's how the Broserweights were born.
It's art.
It's high art.
Good God.
What was? What did they try and get nominated for again? Was it a Golden Globe?
They should be. There's a masterpiece.
They should be.
Look at them.
They
looking for a team. The Bros are whites.
And we got, even more important, we had a Keith Lee promo in front of a flag.
Ooh, new flag?
No, but I thought it was noteworthy because it was a promo in front of a flag.
Oh. Were there any other flags in the show while we're on the flags?
Well, okay. I don't know if it's a new flag, but it might have been an updated flag.
Okay.
Because Damian Priest had a flag. And I'm not sure it had the same logos as the old Damian Priest flag.
A reminder, you're so meant to be tweeting pictures of these flags.
Well, see, I wasn't sure if it was a new one or not. But I was going to mention it.
If you tweeted it originally, you'd be able to compare. This is a failing on your flag tweeting, Liam.
Listen, my country's on fire. You can't say this.
That's fair.
Go donate.
We got a Gallus video, so set up Gallus later, sure. Then I had the crushing disappointment of Austin Theory coming out, and then he was facing DJZ, and I was like, DJZ's on NXT, woo! Oh no.
Sorry, I don't know who DJZ is.
Sorry, Joaquin Wild, burr 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 burr.
Thank you.
He still does the burr 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 burr, so really, that's
Joaquin the Joker Wild.
I'm just like, no, they're gonna kill DJZ for Austin Theory. Very upset.
And then it was kind of a lame match, too. Yeah. Especially after that, like, good Austin Theory Roderick Strong match, which you definitely went back and watched, like I told you to.
I totally did. NXT on Christmas Day was a big priority for me.
Yeah.
Don't squash DJZ. Do something. This was DJZ's return from injury as well, and they just had him beaten 3 minutes.
It wasn't.
It was on NXT, though.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, he was on 205 Live.
Yeah, and he had, he hasn't been on NXT since the breakout tournament, has he?
No, because he died.
He did get injured. Undisputed Era faced Gallus in a match that was very boring.
No one gave a shit about the NXT UK tag champs.
It's Gallus. How could you possibly care about Gallus?
Why do they love Gallus so much?
I don't understand it. Like, Mark Coffey is just a guy who exists for reasons I will never truly understand.
Why is Joe Coffey main eventing his second takeover?
Who's he facing? It's tipping against Walter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, just why?
Like, surely there's somebody else.
Of all the people that you're like, let's have face Walter, you're like, yes, Joe Coffey. That's the match we need.
We have to go back and watch that 40-something minute Pete Dunne match just to see what it was. That's a historic match now.
You can vote for it in Match of the Year. Like, that's an excuse when Voices of Wrestling Match of the Year gets going. You can. That was last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, you can. That's your excuse for going back to it.
I don't want to.
Gallus.
It was all just a bit.
Wrestled Red Dragon, one of the best teams in the world for the last decade, and like, this was the most forgettable match of all time.
I don't remember a single spot.
I remember one. Where one of the Gallus threw the other Gallus over the top rope, and Mauro called it a Fosbury flop, and I got very mad because it was nothing even remotely resembling a Fosbury flop.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, don't you dare call something that's not a Fosbury flop a Fosbury flop. AJ Styles would be ashamed of you, everyone's ashamed of everything, and like, Dick Fosbury, he didn't revolutionize the high jump, Liam. For Mauro just to bastardize his legacy like that, to really diminish the innovative maneuver he brought to the high jump to jump over that bar, and there is Mauro just throwing a guy to the floor. That was just a flop, Liam. That wasn't a Fosbury flop.
Buddy, this whole day of shows was a flop.
Got him.
I'm good at this jabbers. Champion versus champion matches should be worth something.
In theory, but that there's like an intrinsic part of that. The champions in that match need to be worth something.
Also, shouldn't this have been a World's Collide thing?
Sure. Well, this was
all the champions facing each other. Oh, because they're gonna lose the titles at TakeOver UK. I don't know what the takeover's called.
I believe it's NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool, maybe? Blackpool 2? Is there a 2 on the end of it? It's the second one in Blackpool.
I'll meet you at Blackpool 2.
By the way, the tag matches on the show were Dusty Classic tag matches. And they opened the show with a video package that had Dusty Rhodes talking about how, like, I love tag team wrestling and we have tons of good tag teams in NXT. And it was like old footage and an old VO line. And it just felt weird to me. It felt like...
He doesn't know half these teams. You know what I mean? They're like, he wasn't there for them. He doesn't know. The tag team division sucks now.
It's just like, it felt like watching Rise of Skywalker when you saw Carrie Fisher. And you're like, they've just weirdly put her into this film in a very strange, weird way to serve their own personal goal. I know Cody apparently approved of them using the Dusty Classic name again. It's still, the way they used that footage was very strange. It felt like, as odd. You said, like it felt like an endorsement of current NXT when it obviously wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to talk about this Gargano promo.
I didn't mind this Gargano promo. It was one of the things on the show I'm like less angry with. I thought Johnny cut a good promo about how he was upset that he was taken off of TakeOver, and TakeOver means a lot to him. And then Finn mocked him, and now they have a match. I thought, yeah, this was fine. I'm on board with this.
I like the context of it. I like the story idea. I also liked him going, saying something along the lines of like, oh, you said you love this place, but when you got the call, you left. And I was like, oh, okay, that's actually kind of good. Yeah. But that all being said, Gargano isn't cool.
He's not the coolest guy. And Finn is very cool. There's leather jacket. Yeah.
Gargano was a dope. What did I call him a few weeks back? A human ladybug?
He is a human ladybug. That is true. He's a very timid, lame man.
Exactly. That's like, what are you doing, bro? I don't believe you. I don't think that you're actually fired up. You know how a few weeks ago I mentioned how JR mocking himself doesn't make him cool?
Yes.
Gargano mocking the WWE mocking the WWE's lame nicknames for people doesn't make them not lame.
Yes.
Gargano mentioning the extraordinary man who does extraordinary things doesn't mean that, like, you're forgiven. It's still stupid and you still approved it.
That is one of the words, because that's not even wordplay. That's just like, you just use the same word twice. That's not how that works.
No. And then we got TakeOver Portland.
Alex Shelley and Kushida, they're coming back for the Dusty Classic.
Which I told you last week!
You did. When Liam said Time Splitters last week, that was in fact not just him speculating. It was a scoop.
It was a scoop. Y'all should have learnt. You should know by now. Everything I say is truth.
Yeah. There was a feature on WWE.com today. It's like, who is Alex Shelley? And it's like the most... It was like three sentences that mentioned, like, didn't mention Ring of Honor, didn't mention TNA. It didn't, like, they're like, Alex Shelley is a very accomplished tag team wrestler. And it didn't mention the Motor City Machine Guns. It's like, I get what they're doing. It's a bullshit WWE.com piece, but don't even bloody write it if that's what it's going to be.
Also, can you not just, like, give him the big debut when everyone goes, whoa? Like, you have to say it the week beforehand?
But yeah, even if you don't want to, like, do the match this week, you can still just do an angle where I don't know who they're facing. I could look at the brackets, but I can't find
it. You could just tease it. Be like, oh, I'm facing someone. And, or, like, because she was just like, hey, I got someone from my part. Like, something. Anything. You don't have to. But don't just say Alex Shelley and show a picture of him.
Yeah, or you could have someone jump Kushida and then Shelley makes the save. You could do this a million other ways.
I just think that's such a lazy thing to do, and it doesn't give him his big, like, debut moment.
Well, I guess you'll get it next week. Mia Yim defeated Caden Carter in a wrestling match that has existed on NXT television.
Would you like to see my notes for this?
It was on the 8th of January, 2020.
No, I didn't even... my note was, who could even care?
Yeah.
And I like Mia Yim. I actually like Caden Carter. I just... Why?
Why is why? A good question. Speaking of why, Chelsea Green debuted after the... Or I guess, is this technically a debut? I don't even know.
Has she been on TV?
She remember
she was in a Battle Royal or some shit.
And she appeared in the crowd at one stage, and she was on Raw recently in main event.
VXT.
Yeah.
Where's Tiana?
I don't know. But she's being managed by Robbie E.
Oh, you mean Tony Khan.
Or Robert Stone, sorry.
We got there eventually, shit. I knew it was one of the three.
Like, Robbie E is on NXT TV. That's wild. They just need Sam Shaw next.
How long has he
been
in the company now?
It's been about a year and a half at this stage.
I at least, like, Sam Shaw had been on the show before.
That's true. So we have DJ Z, we have Trevor Lee, we have Robbie Yee, we have Laurel Van Ness. This is such a... Oh, this is looking more and more like 2016 Impact, Liam. Are you excited?
TNXT is finally true.
Gunner? You can't forget about Gunner.
Who could ever forget about Gunner?
So many TNA stars. Alex Shelley's coming back. Look at this show. Look at this big TNA wrestling show.
It really is a weird hybrid of like 2016 TNA and 2016 Ring of Honor.
With it's like 2016 TNA, 2016 Ring of Honor, and then Evolve had a baby.
I like how you went through all these names and you're like about people who weren't in the segment. You even brought Robbie E, but you didn't bring up Chelsea Green, who was also there.
I did. I said Laurel Van Nestle. I used her.
Oh, sorry.
Her TNA wrestling name.
I use LVN. That's how I know.
Former Knockouts champion.
How many former TNA champions were on this show?
Well, there's Robbie E, who's a former television and X Division champion. There's Trevor Lee, who's a former tag team and X Division champion. Sam Shaw never won a belt. Laurel Van Ness is a former Knockouts champion. Alex Shelley. DJ Z is a former X Division and tag team champion. Alex Shelley is also a former X Division and tag team champion.
Mia Yim.
Mia Yim, former Knockouts champion, and yes, indeed.
This is stupid.
What?
This is a stupid, weird company.
Yeah, this is TNA, baby.
Who described it as Triple H's TW game?
I don't remember. John, I think it was John.
Yeah. Like, that's really what it is. It's just a random collection of signings in TW.
Which is weird, because we described this week's AEW as, like, not Tony Khan's AEW or TW game.
Yeah, AEW is one of our weird ones, and NXT is one of our good ones.
That brings us to our main event, in which Keith Lee defeated Cameron Grimes, Dominik Dijakovic, and Damian Priest in a pretty good main event. This feels like a demotion for Keith Lee, though. He faces Roderick Strong for the NXT US title in 2 weeks. But again,
US title.
the
NXT US title.
I booted Canada out of this championship. I'm so sorry.
Well, has a Canadian even held it?
The NXT North American Championship. Sorry.
Thank you. Please put some respect on Canada's name.
Keith Lee, it feels like a demotion. After that bloody Survivor Series thing, they had him lose the tag title match, and now he's wrestling for the mid-card title. They really didn't think about any follow-up to that.
I think it was a demotion if I thought they were going to do anything else with him. Like, at least it's something. Roderick Strong main events, like, every 3 weeks, so at least Keith Lee will probably do that now.
Yeah.
I assume he wins. If he loses, take back any praise I give this.
There was a spot in this match where Keith Lee pounced Dominik Dijakovic over the top rope, and it was a great looking move. And then someone pinned somebody, and within like 5 or 6 seconds, Dijakovic was back to break up the pin. And like, nothing in this match matters. Who cares? It went from like dumb fun into just dumb.
I have some notable spots that I wrote down.
Good or bad?
That's what this was. It was spots. Actually, it was cool. And one's good, one's bad.
Okay.
Alright, so, first thing. Damian Priest, every time he does his dive, he looks like he's going to die.
Yes, he does. He's a very tall man.
And he goes so short and so close to the edge of the ring every single time.
He's very long. There's a lot of them that hit that ring.
Point two.
Mm-hmm.
Dominik Dijakovic. Booting Damian Priest in the face while he was ecstatically pinning someone was hilarious. And three, the Keith Lee rising up shtick is old and I hate it now.
Mm.
He did it the first time. It was a cool, like, organic kind of moment. Then on... Oh, you haven't watched the Christmas episode, have you?
I haven't.
They redid the spot, but he had a Christmas hat on.
That's actually really good, though.
Yes, but then he did it this week, and now it's old, and I hate it.
Cool.
And now it's Keith Lee versus Roderick Strong in 2 weeks, baby!
Cool. Next week, we get the Women's Battle Royal to determine Rhea Ripley's opponent in Portland, as well as two more Dusty Rhodes classic matches, which I couldn't possibly know what they are, because I don't have the brackets in front of me.
Now the city name Portland just makes me giggle.
Yeah, big fan of Oregon?
Give me some Oregon facts.
It's in the Pacific Northwest,
mm-hmm.
which means there's probably like lots of trees there. It's probably pretty scenic.
that where Daniel McCabe's from?
I'm not sure. Is he from Oregon? But he is in that region of the world.
I meant the region.
Hmm.
Well, there you go. Portland, Oregon.
So that means Rhea Ripley's opponent is going to be Daniel McCabe. I think that's the through line there.
Though that would be so sick, though.
That's WWE NXT.
That, like, this show was a bad show versus a paint-by-the-numbers show.
Yeah.
Like, nothing was particularly interesting about either. Neither really had an outstanding match.
This was a boring, bland episode of NXT up against an utterly terrible episode of AEW. That's...
I wonder who we will pick to win.
Liam, what's your match of the week?
Can you go first?
I'm gonna go... probably the NXT main event, because when it was dumb fun, it was very fun, but it also veered into stupid fun every so often. But it's still... I hate Dynamite. It's the worst show on the earth. They should cancel it and it should go away!
How did it do better than last week?
Because, like, last week was a good show.
Yeah, like, people should have tuned off, though.
They heard all the good words that Dynamite was back. They tuned in, and they didn't leave. But I also have a theory that maybe perhaps the more they're like WWE, potentially, the better they'll do. Because there's 2.5 million people that watch. I know, it's a terrible thought. It's a thought I really, really, really don't like. But there's 2.5 million people who habitually watch wrestling every week, and that's WWE wrestling. So if AEW's a little more like the wrestling that they watch, in theory... it's a lot, and NXT is a weird hybrid of being like the wrestling they watch, but also very much not like the wrestling they watch. NXT is a strange show.
The wrestling they watch, but bland.
Yeah, you see, like, it has a lot of the tropes of the wrestling they watch, but the wrestling is a lot better and, like, just super indie. NXT is a weird show. So yeah, if AEW veers more toward being more like Monday Night Raw, in theory, it's easier to get that 2.5 million people who habitually watch wrestling to watch. It's easier to get them to watch than it is to convert people who gave up watching 2 years ago and saying, look, come back and watch our show. I hate that thought. It's literally something...
It's a scary thought.
I saw the AEW number, and then I was just lying in bed, just thinking. It's like, oh, that's where my brain went. So, there you go.
It's like, wrestling has passed yourself by.
It's not even... I don't even think it's that. I think it's that just WWE's way of pro wrestling.
Sorry, TV wrestling. Just TV wrestling.
No, not even like... I just think it's as simple as WWE has conditioned people to think wrestling should be one way. And like, they can't have it any other way. And you need
to... We must brainwash new fans.
That's what I'm saying. You need to recondition fans to a new kind of television wrestling. And the more AEW does the bullshit, the less they're conditioning fans to a new kind of television wrestling.
Maybe that's the long plan. They get them in with the WWE shit, and then they can start switching back and turning them to good wrestling.
Ah, you see, this they'll do every second week. So every week will be an episode like last week that's for us, and then every second week is an episode for them. And
we'll call it's one the for Jim you. Ross model.
It truly is. Have you decided on a match of the week yet?
Can I pick the Broserweights backstory?
That's not a match.
Oh, NXT main event, I guess.
You can go with the AEW opener. It's fine.
They're like the same. They're both 3.25. Who gives a shite?
Show of the week, Liam. Which do you prefer?
I almost instinctively said AEW. But it's NXT.
It is also NXT. And the fan
Congrats,
poll.
Congrats, NXT. You crawled over the line.
Well, not in the fan poll, Liam. The fan poll with 368 votes, 62% to 38% NXT, so it was a comfortable victory in the fan poll.
How is it still only that?
I don't know.
How have they not reached the 70% mark?
AEW has reached the 70% mark. Truly an indictment of NXT that they couldn't just trounce AEW in this poll.
Or in the ratings.
That's also true. They finished 56th. But we don't talk about ratings. We talk about the creative merit of these shows, Liam.
Of which there was very little...
Where can people find you on the internet?
Don't bother finding me. Go donate to one of the 10,000 charities supporting this country as it burns due to our poor leadership.
You can follow us on Twitter at WarGamesPod. If you would like all that ratings talk we don't do, everything elite's there for you, as well as all the other AEW news that they cover, plus Shake Them Ropes covering all the television shows that you could possibly want other than this one, including these ones.
what under the like table deal have you made with Shake Them Ropes and Everything Elite?
I am a polite man who plugs the content on the great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network, where you can listen to Wrestling Omakase, which occasionally covers AEW as well. The Flagship, which also occasionally covers AEW. Joe Lanza, who puts his frickin' AEW reviews behind a paywall. We don't do that to you. We give you these reviews for free.
You know what? I think I need to see the podcast financials, because something ain't adding up here.
Well, I've spent more money than I've made on this podcast, so would you like to contribute toward that?
Sorry, who didn't go into work today for this podcast?
You weren't working today, and we didn't... You can't play that card twice. We're a day late because you went to work yesterday.
No comment.
Got him. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Bye!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.